Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, you know we got a big show coming up for you here today. Next hour of the show, I'm anticipating that we will get a chance to hear from Montana Senator Steve Daines, Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy also should be joining us at some point in the 9 o'clock hour. Plus, you never know who else might join us for the rest of the morning here. But I got to start with a caller. I think we've got a caller on the phone lines who is already at the Trump rally in Bozeman, apparently already parked. People are already lining up. Ryan, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, what's it looking like out there?
It's awesome, man. It's absolutely great to see so many people out here supporting Trump, supporting Sheehy. He was kind enough to take a pic with me, talk to some, you know, folks out here. It's just been great. Feels like a big tailgating party.
So when you say he got a pic with me, Tim Sheehy was out there saying hello to the crowd?
Absolutely. He was, it was awesome. He was taking time to just say a quick hello in between doing some media stuff.
Very cool. How many people would you say? Paint the picture for us. What does it look like out there at the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse? Because I'll be joining you later this afternoon.
We're looking forward to it. I would say there's probably, between people in line and people that are just getting here, there's probably over 1,000 people already.
Wow. Yeah, and I know that field house only fits about 8,000 people, so there's going to be more going to be rushing your way.
Yeah, I highly recommend. I actually left Livingston at 6:30 this morning. If you are coming out, I would leave right now.
Yeah, get in line. Are there some food vendors out there, some swag vendors?
The swag vendors were up and running early. There's already people in line to get hats. I mean, anything Trump-related you can imagine.
What's the people watching looking like?
Awesome. Everybody's got their MAGA gear on. Everybody's talking to everybody, shaking hands. People are polite. People are having just a good time.
Very cool. Very cool.
It's a very positive energy.
It always is. It always is. Well, I look forward to seeing you out there. Thanks for the live report. There's our live correspondent, Ryan in Bozeman. Jim Brown, you're Public Service Commission president and candidate for state auditor. That sounds a lot like the event we were at last night, doesn't it? We just had such a great time last night.
It was, yeah. I joined you at High Plains Brewing in Laurel. It was a great event. There was a lot of people there. It was really exciting. That's a neat venue. I'd never... been there, but the great thing about that was that as part of your services for AFP, you've been talking about the cost to the American and Montana family of inflation, and I can tell you, Aaron, that in my 8 months now on the road for my auditor campaign, I can tell you that is the number one issue for people is the cost of living.
Just and inflation, groceries, gas, everything. It's what everybody's talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And we talk a lot about protecting the Montana way of life. And I can tell you that what we don't want to get into is a situation where it becomes unaffordable for average Montanans to live in this beautiful state.
Well, we've got a former Trump cabinet member, Matt Whitaker, who's going to join us after our 8:20 break. But as you heard, nice last-minute visit here by Jim Brown. We had a great event thanks to Dave Baquette. It was like a Trump rally last night at High Plains Brewing in Laurel. A lot of people that were there last night probably already in line this morning at the Trump rally.
Securing America.
The U.S. has bolstered its forces in the Middle East as the region remains in a volatile state. And Iran has threatened to retaliate against Israel for the killing of a Hamas leader in Tehran. Pentagon Deputy Press Secretary Sabrina Singh explaining the reasoning behind the decision to send more U.S. assets to the region.
To improve U.S. force protection, increase support for the defense of Israel, and to ensure the United States is prepared to respond to a various number of contingencies.
The move follows the recent rocket attack at Al-Asad Air Force Base in Iraq, in which the Pentagon now says 4 U.S. service members and 1 contractor were injured. Singh on whether the U.S. will respond.
We always reserve that right, and we will take measures that we need to ensure the protection of our forces.
Singh also says that the U.S. military posture in the Middle East remains
defensive in nature.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
If you missed this earlier in the week, he fired his last shot at the Olympics in Paris on Sunday. Monday, he was on his way back home to Billings, Montana. And Wednesday morning, we were honored to have silver and bronze Olympic medalist Brady Ellison drop by our radio studios. Great conversation. I've got the full story and some incredible photos from Paris. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, the story from the 1924 Paris Olympics that's not being told. Incredible story there, too. MontanaTalks.com.
Let's say.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we're going to have a bit of a busy lineup here all morning long. We've got Kurt Schlichter. Kurt Schlichter, you know, townhall.com. He's been with us before. He's coming back again. He wrote a new column about the stolen valor committed by Tim Walz, Kamala Harris's running mate. So I can't wait till Kurt Schlichter sounds off at 8:40. Matt Whitaker coming up in about 10 minutes as well. But Jim Brown, candidate for state auditor, nice surprise visit by you this morning. It was so great to see you at the brewery last night. What are people telling you? What are people talking about it? Because I've been running into you all over Montana during my travels. What are people telling you during your travels?
Yeah, we have been fortunate to cross each other's paths in many cities across Montana. I can tell you the number one issue that people talk to me about is this, is the cost of living issue, and how everything has gone up under the Biden-Harris administration and Bidenomics. The cost of energy that we've talked about before, you and I on this show, up 30%. Insurance rates are
nationally.
Yeah, insurance rates are up about 22%. It's a question of affordability. The second thing that people talk to me about is the rule of law and just how during the last 3 years we have seen a tone from the top, namely the President of the United States and the Vice President, where there's just a fundamental disregard for the rule of law in the United States, and the way that that manifests itself certainly is the open borders question, right? And then the other thing that ties into that is the complete disregard by the court system of clear statutory directive, and the courts taking it upon themselves to make up the law as they go.
That's one thing that a lot of people don't think about. We know how the failed energy policy of Biden, Kamala, and John Tester is driving up energy prices. We know how their inflationary government spending is driving up grocery prices and everything else. But we also forget about how, like, our liberal Montana Supreme Court drives up insurance rates and things like that. And you're, as state auditor, that office is also known as the Commissioner of Securities and Insurance. So that's something that's going to be, you know, right in your lane.
That's exactly right. You're exactly right. So if you followed what's happened in Montana for the last 40 years, you'll know that the court system in Montana heavily favors the plaintiff's bar, the trial attorneys. And, of course, who are their primary defendants in their cases are insurance companies in Montana. And so what happens is that when courts award huge damages against insurance companies, I can tell you the insurance companies are not the ones that are bearing the cost of those damage awards, right?
You are. We all are.
That's right.
Yeah.
The people who have policies are the ones that end up seeing increased premiums because of that. I mean, insurance companies are going to hold themselves harmless. So it all ties together, as we've talked about. And the other thing, as you certainly are aware, Aaron, is that Montana is such a small state in terms of population that when insurance companies put together their policies, they look at other states to rate Montana insurance policies. And what happens is, with insurance companies paying out large claims in California, for example, right, because of poor land use decisions in that state, which is causing these wildfires, well, Montana customers end up paying the cost of that.
On your home insurance and more. Yeah. You know, Miles City, we were at the Main Street Grind coffee shop right on Main Street, of course, and great coffee shop, breakfast joint. And so once the word got out that we were giving out free gift cards to help deal with the Bidenomics inflation, we had the nicest ladies come over from a nearby insurance company. One lady said, she says, oh, this is incredible. Yesterday, I only had $37 in my bank account. And luckily, I got paid today. But this is huge. Thank you so much. She said, just, yeah, the inflation, it's just like, you know, you're just, we're barely scraping by now. But she works in insurance, and she made the point that people think we're being jerks when we have to raise insurance rates. It's like our costs are going up across the board. The cost to replace a house, the cost to replace a new vehicle, all of it. When the prices go up on everything, of course, the price to insure those things also goes up.
Yeah, that's exactly right. A lot of people don't think about this. Like I say, it's all tied together. Okay, so when you have counties such as Missoula County that impose extreme mandates, if you will, on builders. Mm-hmm. All right. So what does that do? It drives up the cost of housing. All right. And when the cost of a house goes up, then, of course, the insurance on that house also goes up correspondingly to make sure that the value of the house is covered. And so it's all the way across the board through government action as to why your cost of living here in Montana is going up. You and I both grew up in Montana. We know for many, many years this was a great destination state. Still is, in fact. But it was a great place to raise your family because you could still afford to do so here. And I can tell you, getting back to what we started talking about, is this is the number one thing that people are telling me on the campaign trail, is their concern about the ability to raise a family, to make a living in Montana, to afford it.
Yeah, and it's just hitting them everywhere across the board. And our state's doing better than most. The red states, like red state Montana with Governor Gianforte, and what we had was a Republican supermajority, we're doing better. Imagine how than the blue states are. Imagine how much better we would be doing if we didn't have Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, and John Tester screwing everything else up. We would be doing even better. Jim Brown, James Brown, candidate for state auditor, your current president of the Public Service Commission. Great to have you here. Thanks so much for popping in the studios. And yeah, pop in anytime. And will I see you at the Trump rally?
Oh yeah.
All right.
I wouldn't miss it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am as excited as the caller was this morning. It's just going to, I can imagine the atmosphere is just going to be electric.
I know. I can't wait to get there. It's going to be so fun. I'm going to be on Main Street, Bozeman, though, first. So come find me on Main Street around 2 p.m., 2:30, 3 o'clock. I'll be there. Have some free gift cards for you to a really cool place. And then I'll see you at the Trump rally after that.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I tell you what, we are getting so pumped. We are getting so pumped for this Trump rally tonight. Certainly those of you that are already there, already standing in line. We had one caller check in from the line, says there's probably at least 1,000 people already lining up for the Trump rally. And President Trump isn't expected to speak until 8 p.m. tonight. Doors open at 4 p.m. at the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse in Bozeman. But man, even if you're not going to be there, I know you're pumped to watch it, to see President Trump, to see Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, Senator Steve Daines, Congressman Zinke, and others that'll be likely speaking at that rally tonight as well. Great to have back with us on the show. He was the acting Attorney General of the United States from 2018 to 2019, serving alongside President Donald J. Trump, Matthew Whitaker. Mr. Whitaker, great to have you back on the show. And, man, I'll tell you what, we are just so pumped up for this Trump rally tonight.
Yeah, I'm really excited, too, because I'm in Montana, and I'll be there tonight speaking as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. You know, my home state is Iowa, but every time I come back to Montana, I'm just, you know, it reminds me of home and, you know, without the mountains, obviously.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to be here in Montana and see everybody.
Hey, that's great. So we'll see you there tonight. Well, I'm probably going to be hanging out in the pit of vipers in the media area. So if you want to pop over, I got a great camera guy who should be there with us, and maybe we could do a little on camera interview with you.
Let's do that.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, I'll hit you up. But so, are you in Bozeman already, or traveling there later today?
No, I'm already in Montana. Actually spent the night in Big Sky, which is I always enjoy coming up here and getting some fresh air when I can. But yeah, heading down to Bozeman later today and plan on, I think I'm speaking right before the president.
That's great. Well, I know you're a powerful voice out there on the trail as well. You're the co-chair Center for Law and Justice for the America First Policy Institute. Well, I guess tell us, what do you plan on talking about tonight?
Yeah, I think there's many things, you know, I'm going to share. Obviously, with my background in law enforcement, I'm going to talk just about how the contrast couldn't be sharper between Kamala Harris and her defund the police, no cash bail type policies, and, you know, kind of the law and orders that Donald Trump brings. You know, I was there with him, you know, and we really tried to bring our cities, reduce crime in America, you know, make sure that every child could play safely in their front yard. And I just don't think that is certainly not what we're experiencing right now under the Biden administration. And we should not expect, based on her record, that Kamala Harris is going to bring that. And, you know, now she's named Tim Walz as her vice president. You look at what he did during the, you know, the unrest in the summer of 2020 with not bringing in the National Guard for 3 days and letting Minneapolis burn.
Yeah, it's crazy. We're going to be talking about now his stolen valor as well, which I can tell you as a veteran, talking with several of our veterans back here in Montana. In fact, one of my friends who's a fellow veteran, he was in the Minnesota National Guard. He was on that deployment that Tim Walz dodged. And so he called, in fact, if you go to the Montana Talks website right now, you can read what he wrote and said, Tim Walz knew exactly what was happening. He knew that deployment was coming. He is basically, Tim Walz is lying. He's continuing to lie about how he dodged that deployment that he, as the command sergeant major, knew was coming. And then he got busted down in rank, but yet he still went out there and claimed that he retired as a sergeant. Anyway, we're going to get into that with Kurt Schlichter, who's got a piece up at townhall.com here in just a few minutes after you. But, I mean, law and order, the southern border, literally Kamala Harris was funding the effort to get the violent rioters out on bail, out of jail, and Tim Walz let Minneapolis burn. I don't see how anybody in their right mind could think that these people would be good for America.
Yeah, it is a very radical agenda. And, you know, let's talk about that southern border. I mean, you know, I just think the numbers are so staggering. They're almost incomprehensible. You think about the number, the millions of people have come into this country that we know of that are illegal, that they've just been allowed to walk across the border, been given bus tickets to wherever they want to go. You know, they're busting at the seams in all of our major cities. We have had all of this violent crime, that people have been murdered by illegal aliens. And, you know, let's just point out, the terrorism situation and the heightened security risks that these policies brought to the United States of America, I just can't be understated. We are at the most insecure moment of American history since really 9/11. And, you know, we're going to have our local police are bearing the burden of that, having to be extra diligent, looking out for, you know, these terrorist plots. You know, even the FBI director recently said that a coordinated attack, you know, it's soft targets, is certainly a serious potential. And then you saw this Taylor Swift concert get canceled over in Europe because of that exact threat, because of a real plot. So I think we are in serious challenges. And again, law and order is on the ballot, and we know that Donald Trump is the one that's going to bring that back.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Even Biden's FBI director has testified about how there's blinking lights everywhere. Oh, well, tell us, why are there blinking lights everywhere? I mean, you guys are the ones stringing up the Christmas lights all over the place with your open borders and letting criminals back out on the streets. Meanwhile, they have weaponized the Department of Justice to go after their political opponents, and not just Donald J. Trump, his lawyers, peaceful pro-life protesters, Catholics. They've literally weaponized the very department that you oversaw. And I served overseas with FBI agents, incredible people, incredible Americans. And it's just shameful the way they have weaponized this government against the American people, not just Donald J. Trump.
No, you're absolutely right. And the way they've pointed it at ordinary citizens, you know, enforcing, you know, even regulatory burdens that they've placed on American farmers and small business owners, and then, you know, sort of tried to put them out of business or otherwise fine them or, you know, I mean, really threaten their livelihoods. I think that is another serious contrast that we have. But you're absolutely right. The Department of Justice has been used as a stick to against political enemies of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. They don't seem to acknowledge it. They don't understand how off of the regular order we have gotten since they took over. And Merrick Garland, you know, sits there smugly and suggests that somehow that they're doing justice without fear or favor. I mean, they are obviously putting their thumb on the scale of justice, and you see it every day in how they approach, you know, whether it's people praying at clinics or whether it is Donald Trump, you know, and the contrast that with how they treated Joe Biden with the classified documents.
You know, it was interesting. I did a fireside chat 2-3 weeks ago here in Montana with former Vice President Mike Pence. And even though he and President Trump, you know, have obviously had, you know, their personal disagreements, I think he really made it clear that he believes that the President Trump and that the Republicans will win this November. But I kind of asked him the question. I said, there's a lot of Americans who think that it's gotten so bad in this country right now that we can't turn it around, or it's going to be too hard to turn things around. And he made the point, look at how fast we turn things around after 2016. But also he made the point that this team is going to be even more prepared come January 2025 than they were January 2017.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that Donald Trump and the people he brings in are going to have experience and plans to your point, to kind of take control of the federal government and make it work for all Americans, but at the same time, you know, it's an unimaginable event that Donald Trump loses this election. I mean, what Harris and Walz will do to permanently change the United States of America, all you have to do is look at what they've done in places like California and Minnesota, where these two hail from. I mean, it is not what Montanans, it's not what Iowans, it's not what most ordinary, regular patriotic Americans want for the future of our country and for their kids. And so, you know, we gotta win before we do anything. But once we win, then we have to govern and set this course on a better path.
I was going to say, you know, being in Iowa, Minneapolis really isn't that too far from you. Minnesota's just north of you. This they try to paint the picture, the fake news media tries to paint the picture of Tim Walz as being this, oh, normal, everyday, all-American Midwesterner. Are you kidding me? This guy is like the Gavin Newsom of the Midwest, except for with less pretty hair and a little bit of an angrier look on his face.
Yeah, just because you put a plaid flannel jacket on a liberal, it doesn't make them somehow a Midwestern conservative. I mean, you know, he comes straight out of the teachers unions and that whole, you know, kind of radical agenda that we've seen sort of populate some of these places. You know, thankfully we have rejected all of that in Iowa, but our neighbors to the north have, you know, embraced it. And, you know, they have a long tradition of these liberal policies. And whether you talk about taxes, regulatory burden, just all of the things that the left loves to do and telling people what to do and how to spend their money. You know, that's what Tim Walz has done in Minnesota, and you should expect that if given a chance, they will try to really lurch us to the left of this progressive utopia that we know hasn't worked in California. People are fleeing there. It hasn't worked in Minnesota. People are fleeing there. And it certainly has not worked in Europe, where a lot of those countries are suffering.
Yeah, I was at a brewery in Laurel, Montana last night and met a guy who fled Minnesota, and he said he left 3 years ago. I said, well, why did you leave 3 years ago? He said, what the hell do you think? So, yeah, we all know why he fled Minnesota. Matthew Whitaker, Acting Attorney General of the United States under President Donald J. Trump. Look forward to seeing you in Bozeman later today. Better yet, look forward to watching you help make America great again. Thanks for your time this morning.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay, quick break here on the show. Kurt Schlichter has this for townhall.com. Veterans will not be fooled by Tim Walz. Kurt Schlichter joins us right after this. Always fun to chat with Kurt Schlichter. Okay, stand by, back right after this.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The House of Representatives is now on its summer recess until September 9th. The House was supposed to meet until August 1st, but left a week early. In fact, the House has only met for 3 weeks since the middle of May. And as a result, lots of members aren't showing up to vote. The House voted on supplemental spending bills for Israel and Ukraine on April 20th. Just 7 members missed those votes. But the numbers of absent members is often in the 20s and 30s, if not higher. Nearly 20% of all members are missing votes on final passage of bills since mid-April. That figure jumps to an average of 25% on amendment votes. In the last Congress, only 6% of members missed votes, but some of that was thanks to the pandemic-imposed proxy voting. Lawmakers could vote remotely. On what's termed a fly-in day in Washington, a Monday more than 2 weeks ago, a staggering 68 members missed a vote on a non-controversial measure. Some members missed big chunks of time due to illness and family issues. Democratic Pennsylvania Congressman Dwight Evans was out recovering from a stroke. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So, original game plan for right now for 8:40 this morning, I was hoping that my friend Adam Gilbertson was going to join me on this show. He actually served in the same brigade that Minnesota Governor Tim Walz was supposed to deploy with back in 2005. And I'll tell you what, my friend Adam, that was a long deployment. That was a long deployment. I've told you before, I was in Camp Shelby, Mississippi, training up to be an individual replacement when I went to Ramadi, Iraq back in 2005. And I saw the guys from Minnesota down in Camp Shelby, Mississippi. They were stuck down in Mississippi training up for like 6 months. Then they were supposed to have a year-long deployment to Iraq. They got extended while they were there, even longer. So this ended up being 2 years these guys were away from their family and friends and jobs and loved ones and everything. I mean, absolutely brutal. Those are the men that were left behind by their own Command Sergeant Major, Tim Walz, who has now committed several instances of stolen valor. Anyway, I shared some remarks from Adam. He shared some comments pointing out how Tim Walz is continuing to lie about his service. You can see that at MontanaTalks.com. But yeah, veterans all across the U.S. are weighing in and sounding off after several instances of stolen valor are now being uncovered when it comes to Kamala Harris's running mate, Tim Walz. We've got Kurt Schlichter, fellow veteran and a senior columnist with townhall.com, now with us once again on the show. Kurt, thanks for your service. Thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks for having me. I did, 16 months when I got sent over to Kosovo with my division, guard division? Yeah, that kind of sucked. But you know what I did? I freaking went!
Imagine that.
This guy, look, maybe I'm biased after 27 years in the military. By the way, I've been told, well, he's got 24 years in the military. You have to respect him. Well, I've got 27 years. Do I get respect plus a quarter? No, of course I don't, because I'm conservative, and so none of that matters, nor should it. What matters is that if you showed up and did your duty, well, I showed up, I did my duty, millions of guys showed up and did their duty, and then there's Tim Walz, who didn't, and then comes back and does everything he can to make himself into Audie Murphy. Okay, he's not Audie Murphy, he's like Jimmy Murphy. Okay, this guy, I mean, it's like, I don't understand guys who could simply serve honorably. And most people don't get to kill Bin Laden. A lot more people shovel stuff in Mississippi than kill Bin Laden. But if you serve, you serve. And this guy, oh, I'm sorry, you know, the weapons, the, you know, these combat weapons I carried in war. Dude, what war? You know?
He never went. And he was one of the top guys, and he just left.
was a brigade sergeant major. I mean, you know what a sergeant major is. A sergeant major doesn't friggin' go, it seems a little hard. I'll be out of here now. Look, if you're an officer like me, you look at this guy, and I looked at this guy, I just saw his picture in uniform, and I said, that there is every scumbag NCO who ever let me down or screwed me over. And my NCO friends look at him and say, that's every scumbag NCO who ever made us look bad. And every junior enlisted guy looks at him and goes, that's every sergeant major who wouldn't stand up to the general for me, shut the door and go, general, you're screwing the troops and you need to stop, which is what a sergeant major does. There are not a lot of people in the world who get to get in my face. My command sergeant major could get in my face. He could shut the door and tell me exactly what he thought and exactly what I was doing wrong. And you know why I was the best battalion commander around? Because I freaking listened. I'm just disgusted by it. It's an embarrassment.
No, it is, and you're exactly right. Look, we thank all who served. I've told this story before. When I was in Ramadi in 05-06, there was a little old guy, hunched over, gray hair. Some of our young guys in our infantry platoon would be like, man, that guy, how old is that guy? But we love that guy. He would just his job was to pass out towels at the little gym on Camp Ramadi.
Yeah.
But he wanted to be there. He wanted to be with the men that he served with for I don't know how many years, because that's how he felt compelled to be there with them. He wanted to be in the fight with them. That's the type of brotherhood that exists that Tim Walz betrayed.
Yeah, especially in reserve units. You know, I did almost 4 years of active duty, went to the Gulf, came back to California, went to law school, joined the California National Guard, immediately went out in the Los Angeles riots. The guys there, I still talk to them every day. Half of my wedding party was guys I served with. And then after I got married, you know, when I had a kid who was 6 months old, by the way, I went with most of these guys to Kosovo. Other guys went other places. Some of them got wounded badly. How do you leave your buddies, man? And how do you look yourself in the face? I don't get it. But there's, you know, every unit's got that guy. You know, the one guy, you know, statistically, it's a lagging end of the bell curve of manhood. And that's who Tim Walz is, and that's who Kamala Harris picked. And I know why she picked him, because he you can either become a sergeant major because you're awesome, or because you suck up. And he sucked up to her. I remember reading the, one of the media reports, when they weren't busy calling Kamala Harris brat. They said, I really connected with him. We just got along so well. Oh, I'll bet you did. I'll bet you did.
Yeah, because he will say anything, do anything to get power. Yeah, I don't know if you saw, I sent you a tweet, but you got a ton of followers, ton of messages. But I sent a tweet to you the other day. So Tim Walz apparently, got a DUI. And he pretended to be deaf. Yeah, he pretended to be deaf, but he got a DUI. And then on top of that, he has had I don't know how many trips to China paid for by the communist Chinese government. First off, I know of guys who have lost, who have had their careers ended because of a DUI, but this didn't happen to Tim Walz.
Yeah.
But also that.
Everybody who gets a DUI gets their career ended.
How did he have a security clearance? Did he have one? Did he lose it? I mean, with all those paid trips to China by the communist Chinese government, could you even have a security clearance? I don't know.
I've got a lot, there's a lot of questions there. He's a bad guy. Okay. Josh Shapiro, I was worried about. I don't think he's a bad guy. I just think he's wrong. And I thought he, it's an important state, good speaker. I sure don't want to have to run against him. But Kamala Harris, she didn't want somebody who would overshadow her, which is tough. You know, if you're Kamala Harris and trying to pick someone who's lamer than you are, that's going to take work. Okay, you're going to have to invest some effort in that. But of course, you know, she's a bigoted scumbag who wouldn't pick the guy because he was Jewish. What a disgrace.
Yeah, that was and CNN and others were openly saying out, well, she could pick Josh Shapiro, but he's Jewish. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Embarrassing, man. One of the two major parties said, well, you know, Jews aren't welcome except to vote for us.
Yeah. Kurt Schlichter's got a piece at townhall.com right now. Veterans will not be fooled by Tim Walz. We know that. But how big, with about a minute to go before I got to hit this break here, Kurt Schlichter, how big do you think this story is, even outside of the veterans community?
I think it's resonating. And, you know, somebody, pretty big name in conservatism said, Kurt, you gotta slow down on this because she might drop him. Well, she's not going to drop him. A, she can't do that damage to herself. But B, she doesn't know the effect because she's sitting there listening to the MSNBC, CNN folks. She has no idea that it's resonating. She's not surrounded by any veterans.
Yeah.
No veterans around her to go, you know, man, this is a problem.
She's got a bunch of woke 19-year-old speechwriters, as we saw in a recent photo here, that are telling her what America thinks. Kurt Schlichter, always a pleasure, always an honor. Thanks so much for freeing up some time for us here this morning. I wish we could see you at the Trump rally in Montana tonight. We're going to have a great time.
Oh, that's going to be great. Tim Sheehy going to be there?
He'll be there. I'd imagine he'll be speaking, headline it. Yeah, he's incredible.
Please tell me he's going to win. I'm from California. So
he's going to do it. I told Chuck Schumer the same thing when I saw him at the airport. And, the hissing you could see from Chuck Schumer. That really got under his skin. All right, stand by. Back after this.
The conservative underground meets right now. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Every American has been impacted by their economic policies, by Harris's border policies, by their law and order policies. Is every town and city in this country safe and secure? It is not. What about the global chaos in the middle of, you know, awaiting the Iranian response to Israel? And an attack by Iran again. Kamala Harris is entertaining the insanity to consider an arms embargo against Israel at their most vulnerable moment, where they might be facing a four-front war on top of the three fronts that they're facing now. You know, you want to compare that to President Trump's record? Because if you do, it's going to be different.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
You know, this is getting out of control. Our government is sinking $1 trillion in debt every 100 days. That's right, $1 trillion every 100 days. Do you want to bail the government out of debt? I didn't think so. I know I sure don't. This is Linda, and when I worry about the national debt, I turn to safe haven assets like gold and silver. And that's why we partnered with the highest rated gold company, Goldco. They have earned over 5,000 five-star reviews from tens of thousands of happy customers who diversified their savings with gold and silver. Today, Goldco is offering you up to 8 years in free IRA fees plus 8% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Call 855-815-GOLD for free IRA fees, bonus silver, free gold, and silver info kit. What are you waiting for? Safeguard your money with physical gold and silver before it's too late. That's what I did. Call 855-815-GOLD, 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-GOLD.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
When is your vehicle a threat to the community? Generally when it hits something or somebody. That's why we have licenses to drive, rules on how to drive, and consequences for those who don't obey them. There are also plenty of rules and regulations about the vehicles themselves, covering everything from headlights to airbags. But vehicle height has mostly escaped that regulation, and since 78% of new passenger vehicles these days were light trucks rather than cars, that height has been increasing, and the number of pedestrian deaths caused by collisions has been increasing as well. A new study gives strong evidence that the two trends are not a coincidence. The study looked at front-end height specifically for 3,400 crashes and estimated the likelihood of fatality went up by 22% for every 10-centimeter increase in front-end height. It's easy to understand why, both from reduced visibility for the driver and the higher point of contact with the pedestrian who struck. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the
Avenue North.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here, News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, Bongino, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
My cousin was there with me. He just sent me a message. Old Chuckles was pretty mad at you. I thought I was nice, too. Wasn't I nice? I was just, you know, kind of jovially saying, "Hey, Chuck, we're going to beat John Tester in Montana this year." You know, I had a smile on my face. I didn't even stand up, sipping my cup of coffee. Yeah, my cousin tells old Chuckles was pretty mad at you when I told Chuck Schumer that he was going to lose, that he and his boy John Tester are going to lose this November. Chuck was angry, you know. But thanks for the message there from my cousin Shad. Great seeing you at the brewery last night as well. I want to play a couple quick clips here. I know we're short on time, but Jesse Waters had a great segment exposing Tim Walz and his stolen valor last night on primetime.
He never went to the Mideast, but when someone wrote a book and claimed he served in Afghanistan, he endorsed it. And he tells crowds he carried weapons in war. Once again, not true. Walz was never in the battlefield. He was deployed to Italy, but there hasn't been action there since World War II. Here's the command sergeant who replaced Walz. Listen.
If he thinks Italy was a combat zone or a war zone and he was carrying that in war, he's delusional. I mean, that was all said just like him saying he was a command sergeant major, just another way to embellish his career beyond what it was. Stolen valor for the people that actually were in war.
Yeah, well said. That was the guy that replaced him, right? That's the guy who went to Iraq. That's the guy who went on the two-year deployment that Tim Walz bailed on. Jeff in Polson, thanks for your call. What's your thoughts?
Hey, real quick, Aaron. I was privileged to serve for 11 years at the rank of Chief Master Sergeant, which is the same rank equivalent as a Sergeant Major in the Army. And that's the part of this whole thing that really gets me the most, is that he was reduced in rank on 10 September 2005, after he came off terminal leave, because he had not satisfied the requirements. So he got to wear it on, well, he was activated, but he had to surrender the rank. Yet he still says, he calls himself a command sergeant major. There's a Library of Congress video I watched yesterday where he says that his fellow representatives in the House were referring to him as command sergeant major Walz. And I mean, just despicable. He's not.
Yeah.
He got in rank. You know, to leave your unit behind to run for office after 24 years of service, that's, I won't say that's the most honorable thing to do, but there are some people who can make a rationale for that. But to wear a rank you no longer have, to call yourself something you no longer are, that is, in my mind, well, absolutely.
And he didn't even have to do it. Right? He didn't have to embellish his record. He could have been a private first class. He could have been a specialist. He could have been a staff sergeant. The American people don't care if you were a sergeant major or a sergeant first class. They would thank you for your service. Why did he have to embellish? Why did he have to lie? Why does he have to do this? He's that greedy for power. Jeff, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. We are going to have rally coverage from the Trump rally later tonight. Thanks to our friends at Yellowstone Family Dental. They're going to help us make this coverage happen for you. So big thanks to Yellowstone Family Dental. We're going to have an incredible cameraman there to get some highlights for you from the rally. David Noble's going to be sidekicking with me there. He's going to be doing his Twitch TV podcast live. And again, you know, our coverage is going to be brought to you by Yellowstone Family Dental. So I'll be updating our website and more. And then, of course, we'll have coverage for you on Monday as well. All brought to you by Yellowstone Family Dental. Yellowstone Family Dental. If you already have a dentist to do your teeth cleanings and that sort of stuff,
Stick with your dentist. What Yellowstone Family Dental will do for you is if you got a whole bunch of teeth that are giving you problems and you just need a whole new set of Montana dental implants, people come from all over the country to go to Yellowstone Family Dental. So check them out. Check them out. MontanaDentalImplants.com.